For today's In Touch, I continue my conversation with Mar Park naturalist Pam Holtz about plants to keep an eye out for, and we'll also look at animal behavior to be aware of.
Most of the other things like itchweed and stinging nettle, that's only going to last for a half an hour, an hour, which is more an inconvenience. On hot days, just going through the grass just kind of, you know, makes itchy, so everyone thinks that they've been in poison ivy. It's just the plant irritant will help, and you could wash that off right away, and it feels better. It doesn't last, unlike poison ivy, which pops up a day later and then lasts for 2 weeks or more. So really, we're kind of lucky in that respect of, you know, plants not to touch. Wild parsnip, though, is the other one. And unlike poison ivy is an allergic reaction, so if anyone touches poison ivy, not everybody is going to get the rash. Wild parsnip is this tall mustard yellow flower, and you know, you touch that on your skin on a sunny day and you can blister because it's a chemical reaction. It reacts with the sunlight. So if you touch it with your clothes, not a problem. And you have to get the oils on you. So in a couple of weeks when the plant dries out, then it's not a big of a deal. But right now when there's juice in the plant and you're, you know, weeding, people get it when they're weeding and they get really nasty weeping blisters with that one.
That grows wild around here?
Right, it grows really well in our ditches. So it's, as I said, a mustard yellow plant. It's got tiny little flowers and clusters. Usually you find a bunch of ants on it. For some reason, ants seem to love this plant. No, and it's very easy to recognize. It's really hard for me to get my students to recognize poison ivy, but I can show them the parsnip plant, and they have it down immediately. So it's at least an easy plant to identify.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned ants, so looking at animals in general, should people be worried? Should people be making sure they have all their food packaged away tightly just in case, you know, a raccoon comes by?
Yeah, anywhere that you camp. We don't have to worry about, you know, bears and those sorts of things. The concern comes in when, you know, campground animals get used to campers. We're talking about raccoons and possums and skunks. And they get used to thinking campgrounds as a source of food. And therefore, they lose their fear of people. And when they lose their fear of people, they act atypical. And that's, you don't want that. That's not a safe situation. And plus, you know, you brought all this food out for your camping, and then the raccoons get in it, and there goes your breakfast. So you always want to make sure that you have all your food locked up so that, you know, things like raccoons can't get it. Because raccoons are the smartest ones. I camped out with some kids, and the kids told me this. The raccoons were trying to figure out how to open the zipper on the tent. So, you know, they do have enough dexterity in their fingers to do that, and you should never bring food in your tent because it does attract animals. And once you have eaten the food, the smell is still there, and things like mice and chipmunks don't bother to go through doors. They just chew holes through the fabric, which is not good for tents.
Absolutely. You mentioned the atypical behavior. Is that just the lack of fear of humans?
Right. Basically, they're not afraid of humans. They'll walk right up to humans. And whenever you get an animal that acts different, the first concern is always rabies. And if they're not afraid of people, they're also more likely to bite them and scratch them if they get close enough. If you have little kids, they don't always know, stay away. And you get bit by an animal, any animal that you don't know, whether it's a cat or a dog or anything, and you can't prove that it's healthy, you have to put it down to test for rabies. Otherwise, you have to go through the rabies shots. You know, that is one thing that you just don't want to err on. You know, so you always want to be overcautious of that.
That was part two of my conversation with Mar Park naturalist Pam Holtz about keeping safe while camping. I'm Nathan Swenson for this edition of In Touch with Southeast Iowa.